Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Yes, ma'am.
This is the day. This is the greatest day in all of history, is it not?
Amen.
For every believer on the face of the earth, this is the day. And for every non-believer, this is the most important day.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank God that today that we're here, that we're celebrating this day together in our right minds, with a family of believers who love and care for each other. And this is a family. This is an awesome family, and it's awesome to be a part of this. Just pray with me this morning. Father, we just thank you this morning, God. We thank you again, Lord, for sending your son, Jesus, Lord, into this lost and dying world that, God, you reconciled, Lord. You brought back that which was destroyed, Father, and that seemed to be an utter chaos, Lord. You brought it back and reconciled it through the blood and the sacrifice of your son, Jesus, Lord. And that is why we're here today, Lord, to communicate, Lord, a simple message, Lord, a simple message of how a life can be changed and transformed and renewed and resurrected from the dead, chains being broken, addictions being broken, that you, Lord God, can come and restore, Lord, and renew. And we thank you again, Lord. Anoint the words today, God, this drama. Father, this whole service, God, we dedicate it to you, Lord. Let not anything come from myself today, God, but Lord, you would speak, Lord, that you would speak today, Father.
Yes.
We thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be here sharing. It's an honor. Again, it's an honor to be standing before my family, being able to share on this Resurrection Sunday. I count it all joy. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Well, I want to start off by communicating. I know we've got a couple new couples that are getting ready to get married, don't we? Chris and Hannah. And who else? Gina and Keith. Hallelujah. Amen. Congratulations to our newest couples. But men, you two guys, I got a word of advice, and I'm going to start this message off with this, all right? One of the cardinal rules of marriage, okay, for birthdays, anniversaries, Christmas, you never, ever buy your wife anything that plugs into the wall. No kitchen devices, all right? All right? Unless she asks for it. Okay, but then if she asks for it, you better buy her the top of the line stuff. Don't bring no plastic piece of junk up in the house, okay? See, I was able to break this rule just this past Christmas. My wife asked for a mixing machine, right? And I said, well, if I buy one, I think I better buy the best one that they make, right? So who knows what the best one is? The KitchenAid, right? This does everything but bake for you, okay? I mean, this thing has got attachments. It's got all kind of stuff, all right? But everybody has blenders or KitchenAids in their house of some type, right? Something that mixes and just food together. Well, these blenders that we have in the house, they're designed for a purpose. They're designed to take independent foods, right? Break them, to coagulate them, to unite them, to enter them, to create something new, bigger, and better than that one item that stands alone, right? So we put all these things together in these blenders that we give our wives, the best of, that is. And we put these things, our wives put these things together and create just awesome things. That's if your wife can bake and cook, all right? Ladies, some of you out there, my wife can cook, man. She's a wonderful cook, all right? She's wonderful, all right? But this blender, again, it takes these items and it crushes them and it forces them all together so that what has started out as something that's separate, unrelated things now become amalgamated into something, right, that's wonderful, that's better. See, what a cook does in the kitchen when using these blenders to mix ingredients is what God does with the universe. It's what he did with the universe. We sang about that this morning. Even Kimberly's song this morning. Who's the one that told the waters where to stop? God, in his sovereignty and his providence, created the whole universe in which we live in. And it was what? It was just a form of nothingness, the word says. It was nothing. And he created something beautiful. He took something that was absolutely formless and shapeless, and he, in his cosmic blender, made something so beautiful. Something so absolutely beautiful. And he is the one that is absolutely able to do these amazing things, is he not? He takes things that are totally unrelated and it doesn't even seem like they're even able to come together. I mean, you think about creation. Man has been trying to figure this thing out for centuries. They're still trying to figure it out. Stephen Hawking, you know, in his atheistic views, still cannot answer the question, where did this universe come from? The greatest minds cannot figure it out. Because this God who took this ball of nothingness and in his cosmic blender put it all together and created something so beautiful, did he not? It was beautiful. Creation displays these things. But God's word, most of all, proclaims it, does it not? I know Lois and Rick just came from the mountains not too long ago and shared some pictures on Facebook, and just beautiful. I love the mountains. I love Colorado. I grew up in Southern California, and we had the Sierra Nevada Mountains that was just a couple hours away from our home, and I used to love to go up there, and I just felt a drawing and attraction to those things. Why? Because God was showing me all of his majestic ways and the beauty of his creation. Amen. And all the things that he made, they were perfect, he says. They were beautiful. They were beautiful, and they're on display for everyone to see so that no one can deny the deity of the God who created it all. Amen? No one can deny these things. He created it all. God's creation was perfect in every single way. There was nothing that was flawed about it. Not one single thing was flawed. And we can read this in the account of creation. Genesis 1:4 said, "And God saw the light." And what did he say? That it was good. That it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Genesis 1:10, "And God called the dry land earth, and gathering together of the waters, he called the seas. And God saw that it was what? Good. That it was good. Amen. That it was good." Genesis 1:12, "And the earth brought forth grass and herbs and yielded seeds according to its kind, and the trees that yield fruit." Those seeds is in itself according to its kind. "And God saw that it was what? Good. That it was good." Genesis 1:16-18, "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser to rule the night. He made the stars also, and he set them in the firmament of all the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and to rule over the night. And he divided the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good." Genesis 1:21, bear with me because I got a few of these. "So God created the great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, which with the waters abounded, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." Genesis 1:25, "And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God said," what? "It was good." Genesis 1:27, 31, "And so God created man in his own image. In the image God created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the face of the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be food. Also to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so." And then I love this. Listen, verse 31. "And then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed he said it was
good."
No. He said it was very good. He said it was very good. That is a word vehemently spoken forth from the mouth of God. That means he said it with purpose.
Hallelujah.
He said it with purpose. He said, "Everything that I created was very good." That means perfection. That there was nothing lacking. Nothing at all was lacking in this perfect world that God created. It was flawless. It was exempt from sin. Man dwelt in the very presence of God. He dwelt in God's very presence. How much more perfect can you get? We know that there was no sin, because what? The Word says that no sin can stand in God's presence. So the world was flawless. It was perfect in every single way. And we dwelt as mankind in the very presence of Almighty God. But see, we all know how the story goes, don't we? We know that the serpent entered in. Satan enters the scene with his cunning accusations against God, taking the Word and twisting it and turning it to his own understanding in order to deceive mankind, to deceive Eve. And we know what happens. He tempted man, he tempted the woman to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's when death entered our world. That's the day that mankind died. Why? Because we knew. We became knowledgeable of something that was forbidden from God. It was forbidden. He simply said, do not do these things. A simple command. But how many of us in our own lives have gone beyond a simple command in life? I think all of our hands should be raised in this house if you're I believe all of us are sinners in this place, right? None of us is above. We have all been deceived in some way, shape, or form, thinking that what our truth is what we have made it. And that's essentially what happened. And death and sin entered our world. This perfect creation, this perfect thing that God had made, had now been corrupted. Had now been corrupted due to the decisions of two individuals. And from that point on in all of history, death and sin spread from generation to generation. This very thing, this beautiful creation of God, had now been marred by sin and death. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, and death as a result of sin, so death spread to all men. And the Amplified Version says that no one was able to ever stop it or escape from it. We know that from that point in time in history that all mankind was destined to die as a result. God's wrath, his judgment upon disobedience in that act, in that one simple act in the garden, was death. We know that an animal had to die. A sacrifice was made. Right there in the garden, God made a sacrifice to clothe Adam and Eve right there in the garden. Something had to die. And from that point in time in history, in all of history, mankind would die. Would never ever live in eternity with God. At least, that's what Satan thought. That's what he thought. Because all men had sinned. Now the world and everything in it, again, at this point, was cursed and subject to God's wrath. God's only punishment for sin was death. It was death. And God could have taken this beautiful and this perfect world. We have a little beautiful illustration from one of our talented young youth, John Malone, drew a picture for us this morning of this perfect creation in which God had made. And he made it perfect in every way. And again, sin had entered in. And as sin had entered in, our world became destroyed. Tear this without ripping it to shreds. It became destroyed. Ripped apart at its very seams because of our sin nature. The perfect world again that God had created had been marred and destroyed. The very fabric of his love that holds the very universe together at the seams had been destroyed. It had been destroyed. Now, could God have taken this broken world and thrown it away and started anew? Of course he could have. He's sovereign. Is that what he did? No, he didn't. And to come to a brother of rest morning, I know he's not here this morning, Brother Tom Hill. Where's Tom? He's not here this morning. You know, Tina always ribs Tom about collecting stuff and fixing stuff. But Tina, he's only doing what's in his nature by his father to do. Amen? He's only doing what's in his father's nature to do. See, he takes the broken things of this world and he fixes them. Amen? He takes the broken and the things that seem unrepairable and he fixes them. He doesn't take an old battery and throw it out and go buy a new one.
Come on.
No. He charges it up. And he fixes it. And we as men only are doing, wives, you know, we're going to collect stuff. Chris, you know, you're going to be collecting stuff, all right, to fix and to do stuff with. Don't throw nothing out. And again, it's only because we're doing what the Father put in us to do. See, he didn't take this broken world and throw it out. Thank the Lord that he didn't start all over again, because probably none of us would be here today.
Right. Amen.
But see, the thing is, God had another plan. He had another plan. It seemed at this point that God's perfectly created world had all been lost. His beautiful creation had been torn apart by the seams and by the choices of men. But you know what? God had another plan. And here it is.
Thank you.
risen. Amen. He has put it all back together again by the cross. He's reconciled our world. Though it was broken, though it was marred, though it seemed as if there was no hope left at all for it, God sent his only begotten Son. Amen. He sent his only begotten Son that whosoever shall believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal lasting life. Everlasting life. Amen. Hallelujah. Because he lives, because he came and died, because he gave himself, today we have life.
Yes.
And we have life in abundance today.
Amen.
Everyone here in this place can share in this abundant life. It's your choice today. It's your choice. Revelation 21:4 says, "Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. He said to me, write these words that are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done.
Yes.
It is done. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God. And he shall be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." See, Christ's victory gives us, Christ's victory over death today, his resurrection,
yes,
gives us power, gives us victory to live the life, to be his sons, to be the ones who he has called. He has come and he has washed us clean with the blood that he spilled for each and every single one of us. And went freely to that cross. We just watched the Passion of the Christ this past Friday. And one of the most moving parts, there was two actually for me, but I see new things every single time. But the two most moving things in that movie this past weekend that I saw was first at the whipping post. When he was beaten with those rods. And he was beaten to his knees. And it seemed like he was done. He was finished. But he stands back to his feet and says, "It's not finished yet. There are more." Every single stripe, every whip, every hit from that cat of nine tails was for you and I. It amounted to probably thousands of lashes. Each one of those nine tails with the interwoven metal pieces in the throngs of the leather. Taking his skin, taking every single lash for us. By his stripes, by his wounds, we were healed. But he stood to his feet because he said, "We're not finished yet." And then, as he's carrying his cross to Mount Calvary, he falls under the weight of it. Yet the last time, as Simeon looks him in the eye, with what seemed to maybe be disdain or maybe to be with empathy. I really don't know what was going through Simeon's mind at that time. But the cross was laid there on the ground. And Christ inches himself over and puts himself on that cross. No one lifted him. No one helped him. By his own power, he got on that cross for us, knowing the fate that awaited him. The painful, the most excruciating death that man could ever, ever face was this death on the cross. And he willingly got off of that ground, tired, beaten, bloody, and got on that cross for them to nail him there for you and I this morning. For you and I. He said that it is finished. That he came to make all things new. Has he made something new in your life today?
Yes.
Amen. Did he come and make all things new in your life today? Well, guess what? If he hasn't, today is the day.
Amen.
The Lord says that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to remember this iconic day. The greatest day in all of history, I believe, was his birth and his resurrection. the day he came and the day that he defeated death. The two greatest days in history. And I'll know, I remember back as a kid during these days of Easter and going to church my one Sunday a year, that I was always moved and touched by the resurrection story. I used to even wonder why Christ wouldn't come down off that cross and show those Pharisees out there who he really was. But today, knowing, I thank God that he did come off of that cross. Amen. I thank God that he paid it in full. He paid my debt. Every single sin, every single thing that I've ever done wrong in my life, he's wiped it away as far as the east is from the west. The word says, never, ever to be remembered again. Never to be remembered again. I can't even wrap my mind around that. And I think about, sometimes I mull over some of the most horrible things that I've done in life. And I'm like, God, how can you forgive these things and never to remember them again? He says, my son, they're covered under the blood. They're covered under the blood. No greater act in all of history.
Thank you, Lord.
Christ's resurrection gives us victory over sin today. It is in the here and now. Some of us may be right here struggling today with some things in life. You might not be living like you should. You might be struggling with addiction. You might be struggling with immorality, sex outside of marriage, drugs, wrath, all these things that I name. Maybe you might be an idolater, a liar. Maybe you still are struggling with these things today. But Christ, and I am here to tell you today, that his victory is for the here and now, right now, as long as you have breath in your lungs. Today is the day that you can make a change in your life by simply trusting in Christ as not only your Savior, but as your Lord, as the one whom you follow and obey. Paul said in Romans 6, 1 through 5, which is a crucial passage, which explains that when you accept Christ, you are identified completely with him, both in his death and in his resurrection. So that when Christ was raised from the dead, you also were raised in new life. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. By the power of the resurrection, power of God's Holy Spirit, we were raised to new life. And today we can celebrate that in victory today. Yes, we remember the cross. We remember what happened Friday. They call it Good Friday, but it wasn't good for Jesus. It was good for us because he paid a price that we couldn't pay. But oh, as Joe says before, Sunday was a coming, wasn't it, Joe? Yeah. Hallelujah. Sunday is here and he is alive. Amen. Yeah. He is resurrected in us today. Yeah. He has the last word over death.
Right.
He had the last word over sin.
Right.
That today no longer do we have to struggle under the weight of these things. Because it's for the here and now. It's for right now. If you've accepted Christ, you need to be identified with that man being dead in the grave. If you've ever been baptized, that was a symbolic thing. That was an outward sign of an inward commitment that you, the old man that's within you, is now dead. Is now dead. And now the life of Christ is in you. And behold, old things are passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Amen. Amen. Death is real. Death in this world that we live in today is very, very real. It's very real. It can be frightening sometimes. I remember as a kid, I was scared to die. Didn't know what happened, but today, guess what? The hope of glory is the resurrection power of Christ Jesus in us. And today, we don't have to be scared of death. We don't have to be afraid to walk even in shadows, in death's shadow. Because God made a way when there seemed to be no way. He reconciled a broken world by the cross. That today that we can walk in the newness of life and not being frightened anymore. Again, because death is no longer the last word. Death no longer has the last word. Christ says that what? That he's taken the keys. He's taken that authority. He descended into the deepest depths of hell in order to win that victory for us. Donald Gray Barnhouse who was a great pastor and a preacher. I just read some things on him just recently. He's from a previous generation. Experienced the death of his wife. And he told about a coming back from a funeral with his small children in the car. And they were asking their father, "Dad, why did mommy have to die?" And as Dr. Barnhouse did not know quite what to say, he sat and thought about the question as he came to an intersection to wait for a train that was passing by. And as the shadow of the train passed over their car, a thought suddenly occurred to Barnhouse. He said, "Children," he asked them, "would you rather be hit by that train or be hit by its shadow?" And of course, the children said, "Well, we'd rather be hit by the train's shadow, Dad." Barnhouse then explained to his children that because their mother knew Jesus, she was only struck by the shadow of death. Amen. They would see her again in heaven. They would see her again in heaven. That's what the authority of Christ has over death. That's what it means to us today. That the reality of death cannot hurt us anymore. Because why? We belong to Him. Amen. Because we belong to Him. Not to know Jesus, though, is to be hit by the train. Not to know Him is to be hit by this train. So my question to you today is this. When death comes, and my friend, it will come. It will come to every single one of us. My son is here. He'll tell you what one of my favorite quotes is. All my youth know it. 10 out of 10 people die. Everybody's going to see death one day. And it will come. And when it comes for you, will its shadow fall over you? Or will you be hit by the reality of it? That's the question on the floor this morning. That's the question on the floor to you this morning. If you do not know Christ as your Savior, as your risen Savior today, today is the opportunity. You guys come? Today is the opportunity for you to say no more of my life, no more of my selfishness, no more of my addictions, no more fulfilling my needs, no more living for myself today. But that old man needs to die in this place today before you leave this church this morning, brothers and sisters. If you are struggling with anything, if you are walking outside the will of God, knowing that the path of destruction is that oncoming train for your life and the reality of death for you is that, then this is an opportunity for you to come to the cross of Jesus Christ today and let your resurrected Savior come and make all things new in your life. I did that over 10 years ago, and my life has never, ever been the same. God broke me. He broke me. And I praise God that I fell on the rock and was broken instead of Him falling on me and grinding me to powder. Because that is the utter end of those who refuse to bow a knee to Christ. The risen Savior. The victorious Savior. The Savior who gave His life for each and every single soul on the face of this earth. The one who sacrificed His life for this broken and dying world. He came because He loved you. He came because He saw you. He came because He saw your need. He knew centuries down the line that you would need Him. That you would need His sacrificial death on that cross. Because it's a price that you can't pay. It's a price that I can't pay. Leave your moral and wicked ways. Cast those things aside. And come today to the cross of Christ. And let the risen Savior come alive and live in you. Let Him show you life and life in abundance. That's what He came to do. He came to give us life, and He came to give it to us abundantly. Is my life hard? Oh, yes. It's by no means easy. But I'll tell you what, I wouldn't trade one day saved. I wouldn't trade not one day saved for my best life out there in drugs and immoral sexuality and everything else that I did in my wicked life. I wouldn't trade not one day of it. Alive in me. And you know what? Today I can share it with somebody. I can look someone in the eye today and I can tell them, you know what? There is a risen Lord that loves you. He cares for you. Why? Because he's living in me. Look. Look at me. I am a miracle walking around because the resurrection light of Jesus Christ saved me and sanctified me and separated me from the evilness of this world. And he can do it for anybody in this place this morning. Do not leave this place if you do not know him. If you have been living a sinful lifestyle, I pray, because you might not make it out of this church today. You might just pull out on this highway in a big 18-wheeler. You know how they come flying by this place. The cops have had to patrol it so much these days. You just might get smashed out there by that train today. Not one day is promised, brothers and sisters, to us. Our life is but a vapor. And that's why it's called the present, because it's a gift. This is the here and now. It's a gift. And it's not promised to us. Would you stand with me this morning? And let's just worship our risen Savior this morning. This is the altars are open this morning. The risen Savior is waiting for you this morning at this altar. Don't let your pride, your arrogance keep you from coming and kneeling before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't allow the enemy to continue to lie to you and tell you that your life is all right, what you're doing is okay.
been guided by the Holy Spirit. Prayer has preceded the service today. We've asked the Lord to do a work in our hearts. What's the rest of the story? The action of the Holy Spirit, and then our reaction to the Holy Spirit. So I challenge you this morning to be not easily forgetful of what was said and done here and what you saw here today, but go and meditate upon it and say, Lord, what is my response? What am I to do? What are my decisions? What are my actions? What are my attitudes? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my ways. Send there be any wicked thought in me, any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Then our response is there. So we want to bless you as you go out. Would you stretch your hand this way? Even as the priest did in Numbers chapter 6. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Jehová te bendiga y te guarde. Jehová haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga de ti misericordia. Jehová alce sobre ti rostro y ponga en ti paz. Now go and be a blessing to those around you. Find someone that needs your love. Find someone that needs God's love in you. Go and find a need and meet that need. Go and find a hurt and heal that hurt. In the name of Jesus. Go out as missionaries from this service today. Amen. Take hold to the word.